Please rise.
O God, who by the passion of Christ, your Son and our Lord, abolished the death inherited from ancient sin by every succeeding generation, grant that, just as being conformed to him, we have borne by the law of nature the image of humanity on earth, so by the sanctification of grace, may we bear the image of the one who came from heaven, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond human semblance, and his appearance beyond that of the sons of man. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. Would you believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, nor appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hide their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. While we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes, we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shears, he was silent and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away, and would have thought any more of his destiny? When he was cut off from the land of the living and smitten for the sins of his people, a grave was assigned him among the wicked, a burial place with evildoers. Though he had done no wrong, nor spoken any falsehood, but the Lord was pleased to crush him in the infirmity. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Therefore, I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty. Because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked, and he shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. The word of the Lord.
Father,
into your hands I commend my spirit. Into your hands, into your hands, into your hands I commend my spirit. Take refuge, let me never be put to shame. In your justice set me free. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. I have become a reproach, an object of scorn to my neighbors, and a fear to my face. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten like someone dead, and have become like a broken vessel. Father, into your hands I commend my Father, into your hands, into your hands. As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My meaning in your hands, deliver me from the hands of my enemies and those who pursue.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. In the days when Christ was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons.
Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am." Judas's betrayer was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So again, he said to them, "Whom are you?"
Struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Machilus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me?"
Thank you.
the band of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guards seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was better that one man should die rather than the people.
Simon Peter and the other disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So the other disciple, the acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in. Then the maid who was the gatekeeper said to Peter, You are not one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made because it was cold, and they were warming themselves. Jesus was also standing there, keeping warm.
The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I have spoken publicly to the world. I have also taught in the synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gathered. And in secret, I had said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard me what I have said to them. They know what I have said.
When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said, Is this the way you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm. And they said to him, You are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said, Didn't I see you in the garden with him? Again, Peter denied it, and immediately a cock crowed.
Then he brought Jesus to Caiaphas, to the praetorium. It was morning, and they themselves had not entered the praetorium in order not to be defiled, so they may eat of the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said, What charges do you have brought against this man? They answered and said to him, If he was not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you.
At this, Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews answered him, We do not have the right to execute anyone, in order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, that he said, indicating the kind of death he would die.
So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?
Jesus answered, My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But it is, my kingdom is not here. So Pilate said to him, Then you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For For this I was born, for this I've come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?"
When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this one, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a revolutionary.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. The soldiers wove a crown out of thorns and placed it on his head and clothed him in a purple cloak. Then they came to him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him repeatedly.
Once more Pilate went out and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you, so that you may know that I found no fault in him." So Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple cloak, and he said to them, "Behold the man."
When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God."
Now when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid and went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus did not answer him.
"Pilate said to him, 'Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you? I have the power to crucify you.' Jesus answered him, 'You will not have power over me if it will not have been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin.' Consequently, Pilate cried to release him, but the Jews cried out, 'If you release him, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar.'"
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench in the place called Stone Pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was preparation day for Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried out, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then they handed him over to them to be crucified.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle.
An inscription written, and put it on the cross, and it reads, "Jesus Nazarene, King of the Jews." Now many of the Jews read this inscription because it was placed where Jesus was crucified, or near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek.
So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews," but that he said, "I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it will be," in order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots." This is what the soldiers did.
Standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene.
When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to the woman, to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home.
After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit.
Now, since this is preparation day, in order that the body may not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of the week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken, that they be taken down.
So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out.
An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe.
For this happened, on that the scripture passage may be fulfilled, "Not a bone of it will be broken." And again another passage says, "They will look upon him whom they have pierced."
After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus, and Pilate permitted it. So he came and took his body.
Nicodemus, the one who had first come to him at night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus, bound it with burial cloths along with the spices according to Jewish burial custom. Now, in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by. The Passion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord.
The cross. Many people wear it around their neck. Sometimes it's made of wood, metal, gold, and silver. It lets people know what's in their heart and know day to day that God's on their mind. That's when they know where they belong. The cross, we place it high upon our places of worship, let people know that this building is set aside for God's work. That people know that that building is sacred. The cross, we place it on our tombstones, our final resting place, where people come and visit us, know what our life was all about, and know where our soul is at. The cross, where Jesus died for our sins, and he said, "It is finished." But if we look at that time physically with a worldly viewpoint, all we will see is the pain that he went through, the public embarrassment, carrying wood publicly, being whipped, spat upon. We'll see his suffering, and that he died from suffocation to use his own body to kill him. Only a few people there that loved him. Where were those that he healed? Where were the ones he returned their sight? Where were the cripples that he healed? Where were the 5,000 that he fed? But all in all, Jesus said, "It is finished." No matter how the world see him, he loved them all. The cross stands a lot for all of us. There's a mother, a widower. She lost her husband from the war. She had two sons, raised them well. She wanted them to have two things, a good education and a love for God. She saw to it that they have a good education. But their jobs took them away from her. They're very successful in their life. Their jobs also took them out of church. She was greatly concerned. She just knew they worked well. They were good people, but they just worked their jobs. But one day she was sick. And as good sons, they came to visit their mother, one by one. The first one visited mother, brought her gifts, flowers, a good book to read, comfort her. But he did something that surprised her. He had a devotion to Mary, and he prayed the rosary with his mother. The second son came to visit. He brought her gifts, gave her money, and cared for her. He shared with his mother his favorite scripture. See, in our lives, we don't realize that we plant the seed, but God harvests it. We let people know that God loves them. The end result is in God's hands. We love our loved ones, but we need to leave them with the Lord. But if we look at that same night on the cross spiritually, it will give us a different viewpoint on life. We look at it as believers, and we will see why there's health care for all. how people fight to save Mercy Hospital, how the homeless is cared for throughout the land, sheltered, a place where they can feel secure to get their life together. If we look at the cross as believers, we see how the homeless and the poor are supported. They're fed daily. Food pantries across the land. Soup kitchens are everywhere. People are trying their best to care for one another. If we look at the cross spiritually, we know that there are good schools around educating people all over the globe, making sure people are educated for a better life, better future for them all. If we look at the cross spiritually, we know that God's grace and mercy is for us all. It's flowing freely, even for those who don't believe at this time. Salvation is for everyone. God said, it is finished. So as we venerate the cross tonight, you look at our lives here and now. No matter what problems we have today, we know that a new tomorrow will come because of the cross. Everything that did happen, and everything that is happening, and everything that could happen because of the cross, it is finished. Amen. Amen.
Church, God sent Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In keeping with the ancient tradition of the church, let us intercede today for the needs of the whole church, for our nation, and for the entire human family.
We pray now for the Holy Church.
Let us pray, dearly beloved, for the Holy Church of God, that our God and Lord will be pleased to give her peace, to guide her and to unite her throughout the whole world, and grant that leading our life in tranquility and quiet, we may glorify God, the Father Almighty. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty living God, who in Christ revealed your glory to all the nations, watch over the works of your mercy, that your church spread throughout all the world may persevere with steadfast faith in confessing your name. Through Christ the Lord.
Amen. We pray now for the Pope.
Let us pray always for the Most Holy Father, Pope Francis, that our God and Lord, who chose him for the order of bishops, may keep him safe and unharmed for the Lord's holy church to govern the holy people of God. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty, ever-living God, by whose decree all things are founded, look with favor on our prayers, and in your kindness protect the Pope you have chosen for us, that under him the Christian people, governed by you their maker, may grow in merit by reason of their faith. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We pray now for all orders and degrees of the faithful.
Let us pray also for our bishop, Bishop Joseph, Bishop Supich, and all bishops, priests, and deacons of the church, and for the whole of the faithful people. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty living God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is sanctified and governed, hear our humble prayer for your ministers, that by the gift of your grace all may serve you faithfully, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We pray now for catechumens.
Let us pray also for our catechumenates, that our God and Lord may open wide the ears of their innermost heart and unlock the gates of his mercy, that having received forgiveness for all their sins through the waters of rebirth, they too may be one with Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty, ever-living God, who made your church ever fruitful with new offspring, increase the faith and understanding of our catechumens, that reborn in the font of baptism, they may be added to the number of your adopted children, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We pray now for the unity of Christians.
Let us pray also for all our brothers and sisters who believe in Christ, that our God and Lord may be pleased as they live the truth, to gather them together, keep them in one church. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty, ever-living God, who gather what is scattered and keeps together what you have gathered, look kindly on the flock of your Son, that those whom one baptism has consecrated may be joined together by integrity of faith and united in the bond of charity, through Christ our Lord.
Whom the Lord our God spoke first, that he may grant them to advance in love for his name and faithfulness in his covenant. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty, ever-living God, who bestowed your promises on Abraham and his descendants, listen graciously to the prayers of your church, that the people you first made your own may attain the fullness of redemption, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We pray now for those who do not believe in Christ.
Let us pray also for those who do not believe in Christ, that enlightened by the Holy Spirit, they too may enter into a way of salvation. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
O
Almighty ever-living God, grant to those who do not confess Christ that by walking before you with a sincere heart, they may find the truth, and that we ourselves, being constant in mutual love and striving to understand more fully the mystery of your life, may be made more perfect witnesses to your love in the world. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We pray now for those who do not believe in God.
Let us pray also for those who do not acknowledge God, that following what is right in sincerity of heart, they may find a way to God Himself. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty, ever-living God, who created all people to seek you always by desiring you and by finding you who come to rest, grant, we pray, that despite every harmful obstacle, all may recognize the signs of your fatherly love and witness of the good works done by those who believe in you, and so in gladness confess you, the one true God and Father of our human race. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We pray now for all in public office.
Let us pray also for those in public office, that our God and Lord may direct their minds and hearts according to His will, for the truth, peace, and freedom of all. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty, ever-living God, in whose hand lies every human heart and the rights of peoples, look with favor, we pray, on those who govern with authority over us, that through the whole world, the prosperity of peoples, the assurance of peace, and the freedom of religion may be through your gift be made secure. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. We pray now for those in tribulation.
Let us pray, dearly beloved, to God the Father Almighty, that He may cleanse the world of all errors, banish disease, drive out hunger, unlock prisons, loosen fetters, grant travelers safety, to pilgrims return, health to the sick, salvation to the dying. Let us bow our heads for a moment of silence.
Almighty, ever-living God, comfort of mourners and strength of all who labor, may the prayers of those who cry out in any tribulation come before you, that all may rejoice, because in their hour of need your mercy was at hand. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Eternal God of unchanging power and light, look with mercy on your whole church. Bring to completion your saving work, so that the whole world may see the fallen lifted up, the old made new, and all things brought to perfection by Him through whom all things were made, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Can we all stand now as we greet the cross? Thank you.
Tonight, for veneration of the cross, we remind all of you that you'll be instructed by the ushers as to when you can come forward and where to stand. We ask that you do not touch the cross, but suggest bowing or praying at the cross. When you're finished venerating, you can follow the usher instructions again to return to your seat. Thank you.
Cross Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, oh, precious fountain, freed to all our healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever till I my rapture find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever till my raptured soul shall find again. Thank you, Jesus. Rest beyond the river.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. we pray. Almighty ever-living God, who have restored us to life by the blessed death and resurrection of your Christ, preserve in us the work of your mercy, that partaking of this mystery, we may have a life unceasingly devoted to you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We hope everyone can depart in silence. Those who would like may stay and spend some time with the cross, and I ask the rest to keep silence so that we won't disturb their prayers. Let's bow our heads and pray God's blessing. May abundant blessing, O Lord, we pray, descend upon your people who have honored the death of your Son in the hope of our resurrection. May pardon come, comfort be given, holy faith increase, and the blessed redemption be made secure. Through Christ our Lord.